This is the weekly message from Restoration Church in Odessa, Texas. If you would like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.restoreodessa.com. There you can also give financially to support the ministry. Now, here's this week's message.
Well, this morning we are kicking off our summer series titled Summer in the Psalms. And it's no secret that I don't think anyway that the Psalms are probably my favorite book in the Bible. As I explained last week, you get everything in the Psalms. Everything from shouts of joy to proclamation of how good God is. You get deep sorrow. You get anguish. You get rage. You get frustration. You name it, and it's in the Psalms. Personally, I think it's one of the most relatable books in all of Scripture. It's just real, it's honest, and it's raw. And in fact, there are others that share this same sentiment. Author Tim Keller has spent over 20 years reading through the book of Psalms every month. And he writes, every situation in life is represented in the book of Psalms. Psalms anticipate and train you for every possible spiritual, social, and emotional condition. They show you what the dangers are, what you should keep in mind, what your attitude should be, how to talk to God about it, and how to get from God the help you need. You know, this book shares every aspect of human life. Much of it can be attributed to the hands of David. And in the Psalms that he wrote is where you find a lot of that raw emotion. You know, like I mentioned last week, one week he's singing shouts of joy. The next week he's like, kill them all, Lord. And the Psalms give us just this beautiful picture. Regardless of who wrote them, the book is like the hymnal of the Israelite people. Psalms is literally derived from the Hebrew word that means praises. So early manuscripts of the scriptures titled it psalmoi, meaning songs to be accompanied by stringed instruments. So as we sing this, or as we do this series throughout the month, I'm actually going to sing it I'm not really going to do that. I'm just kidding. But that's what they were originally intended for. They were songs. And there are 150 of these individual psalms divided into 5 different sections. Within the books, there are certain collections. One of those collections is what's called the Psalms of Ascent. These 15 psalms from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 formed a book of worship for pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem. And for the next several weeks, we are going to be looking at some of these songs of ascent. My prayer in doing so is that it will give us a glimpse of the great God that we worship. Amen? That it would teach us more about who He is, and that it would draw us closer to Him. So as we do that, can we just ask the Lord just to meet us as we study His Word, as we dive into His songs of ascent? Lord, we just thank You, God, for Your Word and the truth that is found in it. And Lord, I pray, God, as we work through these Psalms of Ascent, Lord, that You would reveal new areas of Yourself to us, God, that these praises would ring out among us, Lord, as we say them, as we sing them, as we worship You and get closer to You. And we just believe it for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. So that word ascent literally means going up. Like you're climbing up something. So Jerusalem sits on elevated ground. So no matter from which direction these pilgrims, these travelers would come from, they always traveled upward. And as they climbed the roads toward the city and the Temple Mount, they sang these songs together. And they sang in order to draw near to God's presence on their journey. Now imagine with me families traveling for days through difficult terrain. It's not like what we have now where we can jump in the car and hop on the interstate and it's usually smooth sailing, unless you're traveling between Midland and Odessa, and then that's just chaos. But hopefully that will be over soon. Praise God. But it wasn't quite that easy in the time period that these were written. And as they climbed the roads toward the city, they sang these songs and they faced uncertainty. They faced difficult terrain. They faced danger, exhaustion, and they were vulnerable to the elements. And along the journey, they would sing these truths about God because they needed these reminders of who God was. Does anybody ever need a reminder of who God is in your life? Come on, let's be honest this morning. I think we all do at times, don't we? For us, it's very similar. Life is filled with journeys. Some are exciting, like the prospect of welcoming a new child into the world. That's exciting. While others are difficult and uncertain. So turn with me this morning to the book of Psalms and find chapter 121. And that's where we're going to be focusing our attention this morning. And it begins with a traveler looking up at the hills surrounding Jerusalem. And those hills could represent both danger and hope. It was a known fact that bandits often hid among the hills. Yes, bandits frequently hid in the rugged hills and desert wilderness surrounding Jerusalem. The harsh, isolated, and rocky terrain provided an ideal ambush point and ideal escape routes. The roads were difficult. The journeys were long. So the psalmist asks a question that many a believer has asked, where does my help come from? And that is still our question today. When life is uncertain, where does our help come from? When you're exhausted, where does your help come from? When you can't see the future, where does our help come from? Psalm 121 answers with one of the most comforting truths in Scripture. Let's read it. Psalm 121, and it's eight beautiful verses. And it says this, I will lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Isn't this just a beautiful picture? So to state the obvious, when we ask the question, where does our help come from? The first thing I want you to know, and it's the pinnacle statement, it's the exclamation point, it's the period in the Scripture. It says, our help comes from the Lord. Our help comes from the Lord. Now, this may be an obvious answer to you, but really, there is more going on in these first two verses than just the psalmist getting straight to the point. But it tells us, he says, my help comes from the Lord, or I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Truthfully, more than obvious, this moment is a moment of honesty from the psalmist. Looking at these hills that are known for danger all around them, it was a constant reminder that the journey ahead was not going to be easy. Where does my help come from? He says. Now, this isn't a question just about travel this morning. It's a question about life. When the diagnosis comes, where does your help come from? When the future is uncertain, where does your help come from? The hills remind us of our need, don't they? When we look on the hills ahead of us and the mountains in front of us and we're like, oh Lord, how in the world am I going to get over this or through this? The hills represent obstacles that stood between the traveler and his destination. In the same way, every believer encounters mountains in life that reveal how desperately we need God. Oh, do you believe that today? We have a desperate need for the Lord. So many times we face circumstances that expose the limits of our strength. I know I've faced those moments before. There comes a moment when money can't fix it, right? Or relationships can't solve the problem. Or even our human wisdom, as much as we like to think that we know everything sometimes, can't fix it. Oh, Lord, help us. But in those moments, when we realize our limitations, when we get to the end of ourselves and have this realization moment, it opens the door for God to reveal another facet of who He is. I've often wondered if sometimes God allows us to come face to face with our limitations so that we will recognize that He is the one who is sufficient. He is the one who is able. Let it remind you that God's grace is sufficient for you. David in Psalm 46 declares this great truth. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, that should be an encouraging thing to you to know that in the midst of these hills that you face, and in the midst of the mountains of your journeys, He is present help in trouble. And notice that He's not merely present after the trouble has passed. He is present in the midst of it. The hills may be intimidating, but they become opportunities to discover the faithfulness of God. He is truly faithful, amen? On some days, we may feel as though our world has been shaken and everything that we depend on has been cast into the sea. But if we put our hope in God, we have no need to fear because we have a refuge that cannot be moved. We serve a God who cannot be shaken. The fact that the writer David uses the word refuge speaks volume. The word refuge signifies a place of protection, a place of retreat, a place of solace in the midst of chaos. Come on, that's who God is. When you got bees collecting on your house, God is our refuge. Right, Brenda? Praise the Lord. On some days we feel as though our world has been shaken and everything we depend on is cast in the sea. But if we put our hope in God, we have no need to fear because we have a refuge that can never be moved. Verse 2 then gives us the glimpse. It says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The source of our help is not luck. It's not a flip of the coin. It's not fate. It's not human ability. Our help comes from the Lord. What if we were to quit trying to exhaust every other option, come on, before turning to Him? Because I promise you, He is more than able. As our passage declares, He made heaven and earth. The creator of all things is able to do the impossible. Matter of fact, He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows what He's doing. Our God is not limited like we are. Oh, praise be to God. The God who hung the stars in place, who formed these mountains, who spoke the universe into existence, is the same God who watches over His children. Jeremiah 32, verse 17 declares this. He says, ah, Lord God, it is You who have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and by Your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for You. You know, every time I read that verse, I think of the song that we used to sing in Amarillo, and I know many of you have probably sang it. Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power. Anybody? Anybody? Nothing is too difficult for Thee. That's our God. That's who we're talking about in Psalm 121, the maker of heaven and earth. He is omnipotent, which means that He is all-powerful. God's power is not limited by anything, anything. He is greater. And the more we see His greatness, the less threatening our problems will become. It doesn't mean they won't exist. The mountain may still be there. The challenge may still be real. And the journey may still be difficult. But our confidence isn't in that. Our confidence remains because we know the one who created all things is greater than the mountain. Hallelujah. Let me encourage you this morning. Lift your eyes. Go past the hills and look to the one who is able, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You know, as we move on through our passage, we're going to see more of this character of God. Because not only is he able, but our verses say that our keeper never sleeps nor slumbers. Our keeper never sleeps nor slumbers. That word keep appears repeatedly. In fact, it appears six times throughout this particular psalm. It means to watch over, to guard, to preserve, or to protect. Again, remember, we know that the Lord is our refuge and our strength. The psalmist presents God as a guardian who never takes his eyes off his people. A vigilant guardian. And it says this in verses 3 and 4. It says, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God is not only powerful enough to help us, he is attentive enough to care for us every moment of every day. Hallelujah. And something incredible to notice is his watchfulness gives stability to our steps. Did you notice that? Think again about the fact that those who were going to Jerusalem, the roads leading up were steep and rocky. A misplaced step could result in injury or worse, right? For a traveler, stable footing was essential. Now, I don't know if anyone is a fan of hiking. Is anyone a fan of hiking in the room this morning? I love it. I love to go hiking. When we lived up near Amarillo, there was a place on a few occasions, we would go to a place called Paladura Canyon. And if you're not familiar with what Paladura Canyon is, it's the second largest canyon in the United States behind the Grand Canyon. So it's beautiful. And it's amazing that this beautiful place like this exists in the middle of flatland Amarillo, West Texas. It's beautiful. But there's a popular trail called the Lighthouse Trail, which there's a picture of that on the screen, which leads you to this beautiful rock formation that's in the canyon. It's affectionately called the Lighthouse. I mean, again, we love to hike, so the trail is great. It's 6 miles round trip, so it's a pretty good hike, and it's fairly flat until you reach the base of the lighthouse. As you can see, once you reach that base, because the trail actually, where you see it goes down, the trail actually comes in right behind that, right there. And so you have to climb up that steep incline to get to the lighthouse. And so, you know, I love to hike, again, as we've mentioned. And, you know, we enjoyed the journey along the way. It was nice. It was fun. We had a great time. It wasn't too hot. But then we began to experience something similar to what the travelers going to Jerusalem would face. The face of this feature is extremely rocky. And it's a bit of a climb. Now, I've always held the fact that the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So, you know, when it comes to hiking like that, I'm not a mountain climber, y'all. I like to hike, aka I like to walk trails that are flat. So when we reached this point, my nerves and anxiety, you know, increased a little bit. You know, I'm checking every little, you know, you're checking every little rock, you know, make sure it's not going to move on you. You know, you wiggle it real good. You know, you put all your weight on it, but you keep your other foot planted. So, you know, just in case, you're checking every step of the way. And then coming down, you know, you spend a lot of time on your hind end, scooting down the rocks, right? I heard that laugh, by the way. You know you do the same. But think about it this morning. The scripture tells us that the Lord will not let our foot be moved. In seasons of life that feel unstable, when circumstances are changing and there's all sorts of things going on, plans maybe even falling apart, the ground beneath you seems uncertain, God promises that he will hold us steady. Hallelujah. He may not remove every obstacle, but he keeps us from being destroyed by them. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24 from the New Living Translation tells us that the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Listen, though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. You know, there's a difference between stumbling and being destroyed. Every believer has moments of weakness, but God's sustaining grace keeps us from being swept away. Aren't you thankful for that? And this watchfulness is consistent. This would have been an incredibly comforting truth to these ancient travelers. At night, watchmen protected cities and camps from danger. But even the best watchman had limitations. Eventually, he became tired. Eventually, he needed rest, but not God. Twice in our passage, it says that he will not sleep nor slumber. This repetition is intentional. God is wanting us to know that his attention never wavers. There's never been a moment where God was distracted. There's never been a moment when God missed something happening in your life. God is not unaware of your pain. While we sleep, God watches. While we worry, God is watching. While we wait, God watches. His care is uninterrupted. And this truth stands in stark contrast to the false gods of the surrounding nations. In 1 Kings 18, when Elijah was confronted by the prophets of Baal, this epic showdown, 18, and they are crying out to their gods to consume the offering with fire. And after some time going about this, the false gods had yet to answer. And in an amusing moment, Elijah mocked them, which, I mean, I like the kind of thing in Scripture because I'm like, oh, I wish I could have been there just to see the looks on their faces. When Elijah says at noon, he mocked them saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is musing or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened." He was pointing to the very clear fact that their false gods were powerless and inattentive. But the God of Israel never sleeps. As Elijah called out to the Lord, God consumed his offering and their offering. Hear me, when you wake up at 2 a.m. burdened by anxiety, God is awake. When you feel alone in your struggle, God is awake. He is present. When no one else understands what you're carrying, God sees every detail. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41 verse 10 tells us, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You know, I remember as Rebecca entered high school and was away many Friday nights for football or even other days during the week. And most of the time I would try to stay up late, you know, stay up because I'm a late owl. I usually stay up late anyway. So I would try to stay up until she got home. And most of the time that wasn't a problem because, again, I'm a night owl. But there were some nights when they were traveling from places like Abilene or further than that they wouldn't get home till like 2 or 3 in the morning. And even as a night owl, my body started to say, uh-uh, it's time to go to sleep. But think about this. We have a keeper. Come on. We have a keeper, a God who never sleeps nor slumbers. Thank God he is not like us. Hallelujah. The third thing is that our keeper stands close, and I'm going to try to wrap this up fairly quickly. Verses 5 and 6 combat one of the biggest lies that our minds try to tell us, that God is distant, that the Creator couldn't possibly know who I am or care what I am going through. Now, I realize that we intellectually know that what the Bible says, but we can have the scriptures memorized and know that God is everywhere. But yet when the seasons of suffering or the seasons of loneliness or uncertainty come, it makes us feel as though he is so far away. But Psalm 121 reminds us that God's protection is not merely something he provides. It's an extension of his presence. The psalmist does not simply say that God sends help. He says that God himself is near. Verses 5 and 6 tell us, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." Do you see it? Did you see it in these verses? The Lord is not a distant observer watching from heaven. No, he is a faithful keeper who stands beside his people through every circumstance. And his presence is our protection. You know, when I think about this, when he provides a shade, I think about an umbrella. That covering that we have from the Lord, where shade nor moon strike us by day or night. Now, if you realize, in the climate of the ancient Near East, the shade was not a luxury, or shade was a luxury, excuse me. It's like a lot of desert land, you know, like much like what we have here in West Texas, in Odessa. Travelers crossed hot, dry terrain. So they understood the value of shade. It provided relief and protection from the elements. You know, when we were in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago, it just so happened that one of the hottest days of the year was that Sunday that we were there, and which is par for the course for our lives. It seems like every time we go on vacation, we end up somewhere on the hottest day of the year. It's such is our life. But on Sunday, when we had attended that Rededicate 250 thing on the National Mall, you know, it's a giant wide open space, and the sun was blazing. I mean, it was hot. We even had a lady next to us that they had to call the EMS for, that she had overheated and got too hot. But, you know, this is a little bit different than West Texas heat. You see, West Texas heat, the beauty of it is, unless we get a lot of rain, it's dry. Praise God, hallelujah. But northeastern heat is a little bit different. Not only is it hot, but it is humid. And it feels like you're under a wet, hot blanket the entire day. And so we're on the National Mall. It's hot. We're in the sun. We're baking. I mean, literally, I was red after Sunday. And there came a point where we needed some relief. Now, mind you, there's no breeze either. So it's not like West Texas where we walk outside and typically there's a breeze. There was no breeze either. And off on the sides of this open space of the National Mall was lined with beautiful, big, beautiful trees. And we decided to find some shade. And so we walked over to this opening and crossed under the canopy of the trees, and it was almost like it was immediate relief. Yes, it was still hot. It didn't deny the fact that it was hot outside. But the shade provided a reprieve, a respite. But here's the kicker. We had to go look for it. Notice the language of our verse this morning. It doesn't say that God merely provides shade. Like you're walking along and look to the side and like, oh, thanks, God. There's some shade. What does it say? It says, the Lord is your shade. The emphasis is not on what God gives. It's on who he is. Too often we seek God's hand while neglecting his presence. We want him to fix the situation. We want him to remove the burden or change the circumstance. And I get that, yes, we long for him to do those things, to intervene in our darkest hours. But the greatest gift he gives his people is himself. Just like it was still hot in Washington in the shade didn't take away the heat, but it was a shelter in the midst of it. It was a refuge in the midst of it. Even when we have to walk the hard paths, when we have a journey on rocky ground, the Lord is with us and beside us. He is our shade. Throughout Scripture, God's greatest promise is not prosperity, success, or comfort. His greatest promise is that he will be with us. Hallelujah. That's an incredible thought this morning. He will be with us. Just like Moses said, you know, he said, my presence, you know, he told Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. When they were talking about moving into the promised land. And Moses was said, well, good, because if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. May that be our position this morning. May that be our mind and thought this morning, that God is with us and that we not set foot anywhere that he is not with us. Moses had a difficult journey, but with God by his side, the presence of God with them, they were able to enter into the promised land. Thank you, Lord. I am thankful that the Lord is our shelter, our strength. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Matthew 28, 20, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Hebrews 13, 5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is our shade in the times of trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And as we close this morning, and we reach the end of Psalm 121, the focus shifts from just the journey to all things, right? You know, a lot of time, you know, we can look at our journeys and we can see the things before us and we can see the trouble, we can see the heartache, we can see with our human eyes, but we don't always see that the Lord is with us. And in Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8, you know, he takes that focus from just the journey to forever, to all things. Verses 7 and 8 says this, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The word keep has appeared throughout the psalm, but here it reaches its climax. The message is clear that God's keeping power is not temporary. Hallelujah. It is not limited to a particular season or a circumstance or stage of life. The God who watches over his people today is the same God who will watch over them tomorrow and forever. The pilgrim who sang this song knew that dangers existed on the road to Jerusalem, yet he also knew that the ultimate security was not found in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of God. Hallelujah. So what does that mean? The enemy may attack. That's what that means. Trials may come. Difficult seasons may arise. But none of these things can separate God's people from his love or overturn his plan for their lives. Even when the enemy intends for harm, God is able to redeem it for his glory. God watches over our beginnings and our endings, our successes and our failures, our joys and our sorrows, our victories and our private struggles. God is there. He is by your side. There's not a moment of your life that falls outside of his care. Hallelujah. Sometimes we trust God with eternity, but struggle to trust him with Monday morning. Yet these verses remind us that God is concerned with every detail of our lives. Every step of your journey matters to the one who keeps you. Your coming and your going. So as we look back over Psalm 121, we discover a beautiful progression. When we needed help, God was our helper. When we were weak, God was our keeper. When we felt alone, God stood beside us. And now when we consider the future, God promises to hold us. The psalmist does not tell us to place our confidence in the road ahead. He tells us to place our confidence in the God who walks with us on the road. You know, some people today are carrying burdens that feel heavier than they can bear. And some are facing mountains that seem impossible to climb. Others are exhausted from trying to make the journey in their own strength. And the invitation of Psalm 121 is not to trust yourself more. It's to trust the keeper. Amen. So would you stand with me all across this room? Praise be to God. Now, we don't simply just preach the word. We always open up an opportunity to respond to his word. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, just real quickly. Today, perhaps you've been looking everywhere for help, except the Lord. You've looked to your own strength. You've looked to your own wisdom. You've looked to other people, other solutions, and other sources of security. But Psalm 121 reminds us, my help comes from the Lord. Maybe you're carrying a burden that has left you weary. Maybe you're walking through a season of fear, grief, or uncertainty. You need to know that the keeper who never sleeps sees exactly where you are today. You don't have to carry that burden alone. In just a moment, I want to invite you to come and bring that burden to the Lord and give us an opportunity to pray for you. And I want you to come as an act of faith. Come as a declaration that your help comes from him. But before we do that, there may be others in here who have never placed their trust in Jesus. The greatest danger of your life is not a financial problem or a health problem or a family problem. The greatest danger is being separated from God because of sin. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to do what we could never do for ourselves. Excuse me. He lived the life that we couldn't live. He died the death that we deserved and rose again so that all who trust in him can be forgiven and receive eternal life. The promise of Psalm 121 ultimately points us to Christ, the good shepherd who keeps his sheep forever. And if you've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today can be your day to stop trusting in yourself and begin trusting in him. He is here this morning. He is here this morning, waiting for you to reach out and to call to him. If that is you and you want to give your life to Jesus today, I want you to just lift your hand and say, that's me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to you, God. So now I want us to take this a step further. If you raised your hand or if you're going through the thick of something, you're on a journey that just looks impossible. If you need prayer for something you may be going through, I invite you to come. I want you to step out from your seat and make your way to this altar and give us an opportunity to pray for you this morning. If you need to surrender a burden to the Lord, I invite you to come. Step out right now. Lift your eyes to the hills today. Your help comes from the Lord. And the keeper of your soul is ready to meet you here. Is there anyone else this morning that says, I need to meet with the Lord this morning? Thank you, Jesus.